Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Loving God, open our ears to hear your word and draw us closer to you, that the whole world may be one with you as you are one with us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 16 through 33. Listen to God's word. Then the men set out from there, and they looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? No, for I have chosen him, that he may charge his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to my Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again, he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let my Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to my Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let my Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So today we are continuing our series of disputing with God. Disputing with God. And I'm guessing most of you do that at some point. We do that because God is God and we are not, right? And God, we think, can just help and do things. And God can. Yes. Yes, that's true. But sometimes that doesn't happen and we're a little unhappy about that because we think it should be better, right? So today, the last 2 weeks, I think they were talking about Moses and how, you know, the Israelites were coming out of Egypt and how Moses was advocating for the people with God. Moses was arguing with God. This week, we talk about Abraham. Abraham's about 400-ish years before Moses walked the earth. Abraham came, and it was around the same time as the Babylonians were creating this code of rules and laws that we can see on these monuments, laws for people. And so God comes to Abraham and says, go to this place I'm going to show you, and I will bless you. I will bless you. I will give you, you know, protection. I will make you a blessing to all the nations. I will extend your family, and you will be a great blessing. God says to Abraham, those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. Whoa. That's a big responsibility, isn't it? But anyway, that's what God said to Abraham. That was in chapter 12 of Genesis. This is chapter 18, and a while later, and Abraham's wondering, what, I don't have any children, so he comes with these three men, talks to Abraham about having a child when his wife, Sarah, is 90, and everyone laughs. Everyone laughs. Even Abraham inside. He's laughing. What? My wife is going to have a baby at 90 years old? And so they call the child Isaac, which means laughter. Laughter's good, right? We like laughter. Yeah. So after that is what we read today. Right afterwards, these three men are there talking to Abraham, and they're on their way out. They look at these two towns, Sodom and Gomorrah, which are in the east of where they were. They look, and God sort of muses, and he says, should I bring Abraham into what I'm going to do, you know, or what I'm thinking of doing? Because there's a lot of bad stuff going on in these places. And yeah, I'm going to tell him because he's in covenant with me. So somehow Abraham knew, and the two men went off to look and see what was going on. And what happened then is Abraham realized that his nephew Lot and his family, his family member, whom he had some dealings with before and had to rescue him and stuff from these evil people, bad people who had captured him and all that. He realizes that Lot is living in Sodom with his family, and that if God is going to do something, you know, big event or something to curse, then uh-oh. So Abraham goes to God and he says, okay, wait, what if there's some righteous people there? What, you know, you can't just, you know, do something to all of them, right? There's some righteous people there. And then he goes down this, you know, this very respectful discourse with God, saying, well, what if there's 50? What if there's 45? What if there's 40? What if there's 30? What if there's 20? And he gets down to 10. What if there's 10 righteous people? Will you still do something terrible to all the people? And God says, no, I'm not going to do that. And Abraham says, far be it from you. You're not like that, right? So they go down to 10, and then it's done. They walk with God, and the three men are already gone. God, the Lord, walks away, and Abraham goes home. Okay, so that's the background. So what's going on here, and why does this matter to us today? What does this have to do with anything we have today going on? What does that have to do? Well, you know, like I said about the flowers and the buds, there are bloomed flowers. We use that as a metaphor, don't we? Like, she's blooming, or he's blooming, and and getting, you know, more vibrant, more able, more capable. And then there's the closed up buds that may never bloom. They're just potential, right? So Abraham, first, there's three reasons that this is important to us. Number three reasons, because there are people out there, and you know it, and maybe they're here today, maybe they're not here today, that still need something, like a plant needs sun and soil and rain and water. If you take it out of the ground, it's going to what? Die. It's not going to bloom. So if you do that, you are not giving that plant the potential to bloom. That's the metaphor to sort of understand this. So what Abraham was doing was, first of all, it was self-interest. His family was there, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay for you to care about your friends and family. Care about your friends and family if there's something going on that you can help them with, right? You would do that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Because you would be conscious of what is going on, and so you would feel like you needed to help. I know lots of you, and this is why I love this church. There are so many people here that want to help others. I am inspired by that every day, but anyway, I digress. Here's something a little bit about conscience. I mean, Abraham's conscience was getting to him, even though he had trouble with the people in Sodom. His conscience was getting to him on a number of reasons. First of all, was his care for his nephew. Here's a story about conscience. A mother was helping her son with his spelling assignment and came to the word conscious and conscience. Those are two words hard to say together. When she asked him if he knew the difference between the two, he responded, "Well, yeah, I know the difference. Conscious is when you are aware of something, and conscience is when you wish you weren't." Right? Because now we got to do something if we're good people, right? If we're righteous people. Now we got to do something because it's on our conscience. Here's another one about conscience and taxes. You do not have to answer this question if you have any connection with it, but there was a letter sent to the Internal Revenue Service from a man who was conscience stricken. And he said, "Dear sir, my conscience bothered me. So here's $175 that I owe in back taxes." His conscience was bothering. And then at the bottom it said, "P.S., if my conscience still bothers me, I'll send the rest." None of you do that, right? No. Yeah, so, you know, the conscience bothers you after a while because you are conscious of what's going on, and you, as a good person, needs to do something about it. That's where Abraham was. He didn't want anything bad to happen to his nephew and his family. The second reason is character. They had just entered into this covenant, God and Abraham, and so they had a unique relationship, like you do with God. Your relationship with God is not like your relationship with anyone else, because you can say to God, you're not going to say to God, you're not going to say to your friends, "Why do you let that car accident happen?" But you might say it to God, right? There's a difference. So what about character? God and Abraham were testing each other. They were testing each other for character. Abraham was testing God to see what God would do. What kind of thing was God capable of? And what Abraham found was that God was merciful even to those who aren't, quote unquote, good, righteous, right? Well, no, if there's 50, no, I'd save them all. If there's 45, 30, down to 10, and then we just sort of trail off. We don't know. But that's the character. I mean, Moses was advocating on behalf of the people, and Abraham was as well, but these were for his enemies as well as his family. So that's a little different. right? When we're advocating for our enemies, for mercy for our enemies, don't cut them off. No, because they're a bud and they won't be able to flower. I mean, that's not in there, but that's my metaphor, right? If you do that, just, you know, they may be unhappy people. They might not have gotten what they needed. Give them a chance. Give them a chance. And the third thing is, what exactly is blessing anyway? What exactly is blessing? I'm going to bless you and all your people and, you know, all the people of the world. What does that mean? And when's it going to happen? And there's a lot of questions there. So the blessing, I mean, can the wicked or really bad, terrible people who just don't care at all, which I don't think there are many, but can we leave that in the world and still have a blessed society? No, there has to be justice, but there also has to be mercy. So where's the line? I don't know. What is blessing anyway? Maybe you can relate to this story. My life is like this. Maybe yours is too. A man meets a friend and says, I won $1,000 in a contest. And the friend replies, oh, that's good. And then the man says, no, I spent it on a skiing trip in Switzerland and then I broke my leg. Oh, that's bad. No, that's not bad. While I was in the hospital, I fell in love with an attractive nurse and married her. Oh, that's good. No, that's not good because it turns out she didn't like the United States and we had to move to Paris. She insisted. Oh, that's bad. Well, no, we set up a home in Paris and I got a really good job at an export firm. Oh, that's good. No, that's bad because the place went out of business and then I was out of a job. Oh, that's bad. No, under those difficult circumstances that I had in my life, I examined my goals and values and discovered that I was living for the wrong reasons. Oh, that's good. Is your life like that? Sometimes we think there's a blessing, and it turns out, no. People who win like lotteries, I think, find out that having all that money can be a curse, right? But, you know, it's like life sometimes. It's back and forth. So what exactly is a blessing? Abraham was learning, and so are we as we journey in this world. You know, God's not indifferent to the problems we have. It's not easy sometimes. But that doesn't mean we can be immoral. No, it doesn't mean that at all, because that just makes things worse. God cannot leave anyone to their immorality. It can't make people happy. It's a reflection of them not getting what they need and then getting angry and then getting, you know, like, what am I going to do? And fearful. And, you know, people need things. What do they need? They need food. They need shelter. They need sleep. They need lots of things, as you well know, and some of which we try to supply here. But it doesn't mean we can be immoral because God is just. God is for justice. Reverend James Packer put it this way, moral indifference in God would not be a perfection, it would be an imperfection, and God is perfect. Moral indifference cannot be in blessing and perfection. And not to judge the world would be to show moral indifference on God's part. The final proof that God is perfect and a moral being and not indifferent to questions and right and wrong is the fact that God is committed to justice, but we have free will. So how do you make free will beings and still get justice from God? It's a balancing act. Now that might be frightening, divine judgment, but it's a main component of the revelation of the moral character of God. This scripture is telling us about God. What is God like? How do we know? Well, here it is in the scripture. And it's also telling us about us, that the moral significance of humanity is the same thing, justice. And that's the reason for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We can't do it. So one person, one being of God, came to help us to do that, right? And to find that, to intercede, to be the friend, even in our weakness, to give us that moral education, an opportunity to go from bud to flower, from injustice to justice, from wrong to right, and from indifference to love. That's the unique relationship you have with God. That's the unique relationship that Abraham had with God. Who are we? And who do we want to be? And that's what Abraham was finding out, called to be a blessing to this world. Being able to think and argue with God is actually a part of our spiritual development. We're thinking, we're going, wait, how does this work? How is this good? So do it. God has given us all the helps and tools we need, our moral selves, the scriptures, the church, the Holy Spirit, if we choose to access them, and I hope you are, because we all need to go from that bud to flower. And I pray if those hearing this today are not taking advantage of them, I would say, please do, so you can have that relationship, so you can know the love and justice of God. So go ahead, dispute all you want. Ask the questions, because God is willing to help you in your heart and mind with that moral help. So whether you dispute and do it respectfully, it's all right. Care for others. Develop your character with God and understand what a blessing really is. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.